it's us again. Chantel.
And Will. We're going to do round two this time, huh?
Round two. Episode two. We'll call it episode two.
It's been an interesting week. Everybody's been sick.
We've been sick, yes.
Not COVID related.
Non-COVID sickness.
But definitely an interesting time.
It was not any fun. No.
But, so today, we're going to do one of my stories.
Yeah.
Which, being from Michigan, I grew up for a number of years in Grand Rapids, and then I was probably 11 or 12 when we moved to Lake County. Real small town, but...
Did you say Michigan?
Yeah.
Oh.
Why? What did you think?
I don't know.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Anyways, growing up, you know, especially in the 90s, there was a lot of, even now, a lot of just horrible things that have happened. And, you know, you and I have lived through Columbine. We've lived through 9/11, Oklahoma City. But what I'm going to bring up today is from even farther back.
Even farther back than 10 years ago?
Much farther back. But it's the Bath School massacre or bombing, whatever. But just a little information about Bath, Michigan. It's located approximately 10 miles northeast of Lansing, which is the capital of Michigan, but took place in 1927, I believe.
Can we have a small timeout? Lansing is the capital of Michigan.
I know a lot of people think Detroit.
I totally thought it was Detroit.
Yeah, those...
Detroit. Well, hey, what's the capital of Idaho?
Boise.
Oh, okay. Well, you're right. Yeah. All right, you can proceed now that I've been educated.
So in the 1920s, Bath, from what I've understood, was just basically a rural farming community. I mean, it wasn't very big. They had only 566 square miles. So it's not big at all. I mean, as compared to, you know, current rural areas. I mean, here in Wyoming, the probability of finding something smaller is very likely.
Yeah.
But, so the main perpetrator, I guess you'd say, of the whole incident was a gentleman by the name of Andrew Philip Kehoe. It looks like he was born February 1st, 1872, and lived until May 18th of 1927. And he was the youngest of 13 children.
Hold on. Their whole town. What did you say? How many people were there?
Oh, I didn't look at the population.
Oh, there you was... told me miles.
Yeah.
I thought you said there was 500 people.
No.
And their whole family's like a tenth of that.
No. They're actually children. From Tecumseh, Michigan.
Okay.
His mom, Philip, and Mary, his mom, or father, Philip, and mother, Mary.
Okay.
He went to Tecumseh High School, studied electrical engineering at Michigan State, later became... Michigan State College, which later became the university, where he met his wife, he called her Nellie.
Okay.
After he completed college, he moved to St. Louis and was working as an electrician, but in 1911, was in a coma for 2 weeks after falling and sustaining a severe head injury. Now, as far as that goes, I don't remember where I heard it, but I thought there was some case study done to show that people that commit crimes like this, not all, but a good portion tend to have some traumatic brain trauma at some point in their life. I don't remember how true that was.
I can't remember.
Or if it was just strictly like psychopaths or...
Well, they call it the something trifecta. Where it's I've like heard it called something the trifecta. Like
one of three things, three key things that are...
Or some people have all three, like...
Quote, unquote,
no. Hurting animals when you're...
Right.
Or stuff like that. But yeah, I've heard it can contribute. Like that, I don't know if you were, about that Aaron Hernandez, that football player.
Hmm.
They were saying that something about a study of his brain that because of all his head injuries, because he played like professional football.
Mm.
So he had a lot of head injuries and then he ended up doing some stuff, but.
Right. I mean, yeah, you can definitely see the correlation.
Yeah.
Because you had Chris Benoit after he.
A wrestler?
Yeah, after he did what he did.
Now, what did he do?
He killed his wife and his kids.
Oh, that's right.
And but they, yeah. Had, I don't know if they did an autopsy on the brain, or if they just did a scan after his, after he had passed. But they said his mental capacity should have been that of like a 80 or 90 year old person because his brain was that damaged.
Well, so how old was he? Like 50?
He was in his mid 40s, I thought.
Oh, gee, okay.
But. So after coming out of a coma, he decided to go back home, be with his family. And
in Michigan?
Yeah. Okay. In the process of him being gone, his mother passed away, and then his dad remarried a woman by the name of Frances Wilder. And apparently, Andrew really didn't take to her. It looked like in September of 1911, which... I didn't really get a good month as far as when he initially went into a coma and then came back. And but, I mean, all within the same year, apparently Francis, while Andrew was home, sustained severe burns after attempting to light their stove. And the stove exploded and soaked her in fuel oil, because that was... They didn't, I don't know if they had natural gas back then, but they had fuel oil, which would have been the same concept. And when Andrew seen that she was burning, or there was a fire, took a bucket of water and thought it would put out the fire, did little to, apparently his knowledge, didn't realize that water and oil don't mix.
Right.
There were a lot of rumors after that.
Wait, did she die?
Frances did die shortly after that because of the burns.
Well, I mean, if she was on fire.
Right.
That makes sense.
I mean, I'm sure back then, too, infection probably set in pretty easy. But a lot of rumors circulated that Andrew had tampered with the stove to cause the explosion.
Okay.
And, the subsequent death of his mom, or stepmom. So the following year, Andrew and Nellie decided... the following year, Andrew and Nellie decided to get married, and then 7 years, roughly, they bought 185 acres of land outside of Bath from Nellie's aunt, which they used as their farm. The neighbors at the time said that Andrew was a intelligent man, which kind of goes back to that whole thing of people that the correlation of brain trauma, and it seems like most of those guys are pretty intelligent, even after.
Could be.
But they said it was a very intelligent man, very neat in his appearance. Noted that he would change his shirt midday, even if the shirt wasn't dirty. But very volatile. It's, they said that he often became very upset with people that would disagree with him, was very abusive to his animals, and was even once noted as beating a horse to death and killing a neighbor's dog for coming onto his property and barking. So...
He beat his horse to death?
Yep, beat his horse to death.
Like, with his hands?
Oh, I'm sure he probably used something. I don't think he's just going to walk up and sucker punch a horse.
Well, I mean...
Just like, all right. Whoa! Hey, Myrtle.
Let me tell you a thing or two.
Heel's not going to till itself. I got four knuckles and a thumb that say otherwise.
All right, well.
But it looked like 1924 came around. Andrew was elected treasurer of the Bath Consolidated School Board due to his reputation of being thrifty, or as lack of a better term, his neighbors called him a tightwad. So they did start to realize that he had a very difficult attitude and didn't end after he got elected. It kind of carried over. Always was.
Wait, he was elected,
right?
So it was like a,
like he
like
had
a vote.
Bad...
People voted,
right? Yeah. And
okay.
Then, but
is that how school boards go?
I think so.
Apparently,
I'm
episode...
not an educated person, so.
See, apparently, episode two is where everybody learns how much I don't know.
Going back to his tightwad or thrifty personality traits, he often was, anytime taxes came up, he was always trying to fight to lower them. It was more often than not at odds with other members voting against and asking for adjournments of meetings when he was upset, even going to the extent of accusing the superintendent of the school at the time of financial mismanagement.
Okay.
So, I mean, he was definitely unstable. 1925 rolls around, appointed temporarily to the position of town clerk, but in the 1926 election, he was defeated for the position and made it pretty well known that he was not happy. Which a lot of the people of the town believe at this point was the downward spiral for everything. And
That's the straw that broke the camel's back, huh?
Pretty much.
He couldn't win the...
I think, based off of everything that I've read, it sounded like when he lost that position of power, it was like just that fuse that got lit off at the right moment.
Huh. Okay. Wait, so I'm starting to see a connection between... why he chose a school.
Well,
maybe I'm getting ahead of you a little bit, but
it was bad enough that like he pretty much stopped taking care of everything. Like he didn't do anything on his farm. His neighbors thought he was on the verge of killing himself and let his animals go. So he pretty much just let, you know, he didn't care.
Okay.
During that time, though, is when his wife Nellie was fighting tuberculosis. She was in and out of hospitals a lot, where at the time there was no real treatment or cure. So it was a process of guess and test.
Okay.
You know, there was, what was it? I thought it was Waverly Hills Sanatorium at one time had a TB ward. And their idea of treatment was to sit patients down in front of open windows and let them breathe fresh air. Summer or winter.
What, can they just go outside?
Because there's a lot of snow.
Oh. Okay.
That's the only thing I could guess.
Okay.
So, she was going to these treatments. He pretty much, like I said, he already checked out. You know, he stopped even making mortgage payments, stopped paying his homeowner's insurance. And this is all to his wife's aunt, which I don't know about then, and I don't know how good of a family relationship they had, but if times are tough, you know, you'd be like, hey, can you work with me on this or whatever? But if you're already in that frame of mind.
Wait, his mortgage was to his wife's aunt?
Yeah, apparently back then you could be a... And I'm sure now all you'd have to do is just write up a legal document.
Well, I guess it's just like a co-signer or a...
Just a loan.
Or a guarantor.
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean...
Okay.
But, yeah. Just stop paying everything. So she actually started the process of foreclosing on it. And, he was upset with that, and, he was also upset with the fact that the area was getting ready to, increase taxes.
Okay. Well, I mean, he wasn't paying them anyways, so what does he care?
But, because what is it, 158 acres of land, I don't know what property taxes are on that currently, but back then, his
portion... You said per acre of land?
No, he owned 185 acres.
But, oh, okay.
But, back then, just his portion of taxes was $198.
For the year.
As far as I understood it, yeah.
Well, but what's that in today?
Yeah,
money?
With inflation, I don't know. I
100 and, what year are we at now? 1920 something?
1925.
So 195. 198. 98. Hold on. I'll look it up. You proceed.
Okay. So during this, Kehoe's neighbors believed things were just getting worse, you know. His wife being in and out, his aunt his wife's aunt foreclosing, and it just progressively got worse. But in November of 1926, Kehoe, the school themselves needed repairs.
Okay.
So, you gotta keep in mind, back then, it was a one building to house first grade all the way through 12th. And, the school board themselves knew Kehoe having an electrical background probably could help him out, so they offered him a position and basically a repairman to do maintenance and upgrade electrical stuff on the building, which they also seem to think is how he was so familiar with it.
So, in... I found $100, so let's just round it to $200, because $198 is pretty close. Yeah. $100 in 1925 is equivalent to about $1,487.02. So that's about three grand a year on 100 and whatever acres.
180 some.
That doesn't seem that bad.
No.
I mean, it's money.
I mean, it's definitely not chump change. I mean, but
yeah.
If you're working a consistent farm, I'm not saying that it's easily come by, but it seems manageable. I wouldn't know, you know.
Well, and it sounds like he has other jobs too.
Right. Well, now.
Oh, that's true. Now that his aunt's foreclosing his farm. Yeah. Okay.
We'll be right back. So, after getting this job as the maintenance guy, neighbors and other people believe that Andrew had already started stockpiling dynamite and pyrrolidone, which I didn't know what that was, so I looked it up, and it basically was an incendiary explosive used for excavation and burning of debris. So basically, all I can equate it to would be napalm.
Okay, I don't know what napalm is,
it's
but...
It's like a highly flammable gel, is what I can guess.
What about, like, tannerite?
No. From what I'm gathering, it was, like...
Bigger than that.
Well, it's liquid.
Oh. So that's the dynamite is what ignites...
It could be.
The liquid? Okay.
I mean, this is where it kind of got a little interesting, too, was because back then, like, explosives and dynamite, all that stuff, super easy to come by. Like, you could get it in limited quantities from your hardware store.
You're telling me I could go down to Home Depot...
No, you could probably go to the Jay's Five and Dime hardware store and go pick up
dynamite.
A case of dynamite.
Well, you can get tannerite at the...
Yeah, but tannerite, don't get me wrong, it goes boom, but dynamite is...
That's true. It's, yeah, amplified a little bit more than...
You could, yeah, like I said, you can go pick it up at hardware stores, sporting goods stores, and, being that he was already a farmer, it was pretty much like a no questions asked type of thing. You just go in and be like, well, I got stumps that I need to blow up. Okay. But.
Wait, so how would you do that these days? How would you blow up a stump these days?
I don't think you could. I think you would have to physically dig it up.
Well, that's less fun.
Oh, yeah.
These guys in 1925 ruined it for everybody.
Well, I'm thinking maybe just this guy.
Could be.
But, the neighbors even began to think at this point, too, that he wasn't just buying it. Because, like I said, you could get it. It was a limited amount that you could get. And... From what I understood, he was kind of going all over the place getting it and getting some at what he could at a time. But they think, too, that he was stealing it.
So there wasn't a record.
Right. So, okay. And then, too, nobody knew how much he had.
Okay.
And they believe, too, at this time is when he started taking small batches of it into the school.
Oh, so he didn't just take it all one day and set it up. He was...
No, there's a crawl space underneath the school.
Okay.
Especially in the gymnasium. Uh-huh. And, yeah, he was just stockpiling dynamite, cans of gasoline, anything explosive underneath the school.
Okay.
Which, to me, I would think you'd smell gasoline. But maybe not so much if it's in a closed-up container.
Well, right.
They used metal ones.
Crawl space?
But at the gymnasium.
Well, yeah. I was just thinking, like, if...
I was even reading somewhere,
if
too.
If there was gas in our basement, we might not know until we went down there. Yeah, or went where there's an opening that comes from the down
right.
up.
They even suspected that he was going to construction sites and stealing it.
Gasoline?
Gasoline and explosives.
And they were hardcore back in the day.
Oh yeah, they didn't care. Thanks.
They're like, hey, I'm building a house. I'm gonna need.
Work smarter, not harder.
Oh, dude. Now they just have backhoes and hammers and.
During this time, he was loading his truck up. Metal items. So I'm assuming like just pieces of rogue scrap or whatever he could find to throw in his truck and explosives to basically make a vehicle-sized claymore mine.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
The claymore mines, you face one side away from you, or like there's a faceplate on them. So when they go off, that faceplate blows out, and if I understood it right,
becomes shrapnel, or it's all one?
No, it just becomes hundreds of pieces of shrapnel.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's our nightly train.
Yeah, here we go. He pretty much, just to make sure that this truck would get where he needed it to be, like, had it worked on, put brand new wheels on, pretty much total overhaul. Just to make sure
he could at the right time.
At the right place.
Okay.
It's the 16th, and Nelly was in St. Lawrence Hospital in Lansing. Now,
what's going on with her?
She was, from what I was understanding, she was having another treatment for her tuberculosis.
Oh, that's right. She was sick. Okay.
Between the 16th and the 18th, the police and neighbors kind of feel like this was when Andrew made the call that I'm gonna go through with it right now.
Oh, okay.
So
it was a plan, but he didn't have like a date.
Right.
Okay.
So first thing he did, he got Nelly back home and murdered her.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Apparently, the police said that they found her charred body behind the chicken coop, along with silverware and a metal cash box containing banknotes, after Andrew basically firebombed the home and the farm about 8:45 a.m. on the 18th of May.
Now, why did he do that?
Because he, from what I'm understanding, had no intentions of going back.
Okay.
Or even walking away from this.
Okay.
Like, he had a statement he wanted made, and he was gonna make sure everybody knew it, regardless of what happened to him.
Okay.
So, somehow he managed, though, to get that to coincide with the initial bombing at the school. Because.
So, some sort of delay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I read that he knew that school started at 8:30 and the faculty and students would be in class at around this time. And when the people heard the explosion at his farm, they were all going to be on their way there. So he knew that right after that was the time to get to school.
So he just waited for the house.
Yeah.
And then he went to the school.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, he really had this pretty well planned out.
Yeah. This doesn't seem very spur of the moment.
No. Said the first explosion, or with the first explosion at the school, families were rushing to the scene. It was a small community. Pretty common small town lifestyle, and more so now with the tragic things that have happened, you know, Boston bombing, 9/11, things, the community banded together, and I'm assuming not just to stand and see what happened, but to see how they could help.
Well, I'm sure some people wanted to see what happened.
Well, yeah, I'm sure everybody wanted to see what happened, but
yeah.
But I mean, I'm sure at least a good majority, 75%, had children in that school. So.
That's true, and you know, if there's a bunch of Andrew-like families around there, they could have had 5 kids there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and because you got to figure back then, it wasn't very likely, it seems, just to have 1 kid. You know, I'm sure people had 1 child, but it seemed like back then it was like you had a big family because everybody in that family had a job to do.
Well, I don't think that's why they had a big family.
You get what I mean, though. But after the initial bombing, they figured there were 38 victims. And they said there were bodies everywhere. Pieces of the building everywhere.
Wait, out of all of that, there was only 38 victims?
At that point.
Oh, okay.
So an hour and a half goes by from that first explosion, and Andrew arrives at the school, and like I said, everybody was there. Everybody in town was there.
Wait,
and
he wasn't there?
No, he was on his way there. So he firebombed the house, left the house to go to the school to set up, because there's, in the end, there's 3 explosions.
Okay.
So.
I guess in my mind, I pictured him already being at the school at the first explosion.
No, the house was the first explosion.
Okay.
He set that off to get people to go out there so there were less people at the school.
Then he went to the school.
Yeah.
And then there was a second explosion.
In the process of him going there.
Oh, okay.
The gymnasium is what blew up at the school.
And that's when there's 38 victims.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm back on track.
So he gets there, and the school superintendent was there, and he called him over to his truck. So apparently, according to the people there, they just started getting into it. I mean, he's just picking a fight, and
somebody
pulled a gun, and I.
Oh.
Believe, from what I read, it was Andrew.
Okay.
And he had purchased it prior, obviously, but it long gun. I don't necessarily know. They didn't say caliber or size, but they just said a long gun.
So, a long gun meaning like a rifle or something? Yeah. Oh, okay. He just pulled it out of his pocket?
Yeah. He pulled a Joker from the first Batman movie.
Okay, yeah.
And then in the process of them struggling over the gun, he triggered the truck bomb. So he drove, okay. He was driving the truck from the farm to the school after the school had exploded.
With the bomb in the truck.
That was the bomb, yeah.
Okay.
Said that explosion alone immediately killed him, the superintendent, another farmer that was there, an 8-year-old boy who had, and this is kind of what got me, because an 8-year-old boy who initially survived that first bombing, of the school.
Oh, jeez.
So not only did he get out, he got...
He thought he was safe.
Yeah. So he was...
With adults.
Obviously, he was probably in shock. But I'm sure somebody comforted him enough to...
Well, yeah, he probably felt safe. He's 8 years old. He's with adults. This scary thing just happened.
Mere minutes. Gets killed again. Gets killed.
Yeah, I don't love that.
And he was walking away when the bomb went off. And that's when... Because I guess he was staying close enough to the vehicle. Started walking away. And when Andrew blew up the vehicle... I'm guessing it was probably enough shrapnel and concussion from the explosion to kill him.
Well, I mean, it's a car, yeah. Back in the day, they made cars out of that real steel. Metal.
At that point, the death toll was 45. And there were 58 injured.
I mean, that's like 100 almost.
It's quite a few.
My math teacher will be so proud.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to look at you and he's going to be like... He's going to sit there and tap his tits. He's gonna, she was close. With 100.
It's closer than she used to get, so we'll give her credit.
Yeah. So, it sounded like even after, so there was, from what I read, there was some news coverage on it. Back then, obviously, communication isn't nearly as easily made as it is now.
You don't say.
But.
They didn't have the internet in 1922? Or 25?
They had this thing called a telegraph.
Okay. Took a lot longer to get the message out.
No, it's just smarter people that can add 45 and 58 together and realize that.
Oh, they made a telegraph.
Yeah. Not like us.
Not like us. Yeah, we'd have never made it.
But. From what I read, it was known, but I want to say it was like the very next day was the day Lindbergh took off. Charles Lindbergh took off for his flight.
Okay.
So that like took over all news.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you were trying to...
No.
We took a turn here.
Like Lindbergh's flight... like overshadowed everything. So not once it happened, it was like that was it. Nothing more. Lindbergh took over. But it looked like as far as the community and this area got, they all stepped up and tried to piece the building back together after everything was said and done.
Wait, they kept it a school?
Yeah. So, what, from the...
Oh, my ex, so they're... So, well, their gym blew up.
Let me finish.
Okay.
So, after the attack, they, like, the community themselves immediately wanted to get the kids back into school. So, they...
Like, for it to be normal?
They wanted to get them back into a normal routine and back into school so they could kind of acclimate back to being normal. So they took City Hall, they took community centers from at that time. I don't necessarily know what that would be. Because like, you know, how we have community centers, it's like the senior center or the...
Well, it could be.
I don't know if we have suffer kids around here, but... They were taking places like that and converting those into schools. But the building itself, they demoed out the damaged portion and rebuilt it. It looked like
wait. So hold on. They demoed out the damaged portion. Didn't the explosion pretty well demo it?
No. Surprisingly there was like
well that didn't work.
So and on the Facebook page I'm gonna have you throw these links up to these websites.
Okay.
But it really looked like the first floor obviously was gone. The second floor It looked like it almost just collapsed in on itself. Like if there was supports there, there was going to be damage to the floor for sure.
But they might would have been there, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Because it in the pictures it shows where the roof of that portion of the building just is laying over the opening of the hole.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to look at those.
But.
Well, yeah, we'll get them up on Facebook and Instagram.
U.S. Senator James Cousins? I can't really figure out how to pronounce his name. But he
Let me
even...
See. What, let's give it a try.
Cousens?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cousins.
Anyways, he presented the town with a $75,000 check. A personal check.
Dude, in today's money, what did we learn? $100?
$1.1 million.
Did you already convert it?
Yeah.
Oh, dang it. I thought you were just guessing really
good. No. That's the one
I had. A personal check.
Yeah. For $75,000.
Did it bounce?
No.
No, it cleared.
It did.
All right. People, wasn't coming out of our account then.
No. We, all of our checks come from the Bank of Rubber. August of 1928, the damaged portion of the school was completely demolished and rebuilt. So, around that time period, being that nobody really knew what was still left up there, police went up there, obviously, to check the explosion and to probably investigate what was still there. They did find his wife. They found
at the house, though, right?
Right.
Okay.
They found a sign that he had made attached to his fence, and this was what kind of stuck out to me when I read the actual sign.
Okay. Wait, is there a picture of it?
There's a picture of it on the
website that you're gonna put up.
One of them.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I think both, but. The sign was kind of creepy just in general because all it said was, criminals are made, not born. And I'm like...
So he's trying to say because they didn't elect him and they treated him bad that that's why he did it.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if I agree with that.
Not based off of...
I mean, you still have your choices, right?
Right.
Like, and you can't always choose what happens to you, but you can choose how you react to it.
Right, and then you look at the circumstances of his life. You know, he had that brain trauma. He was a smart guy. You know, I'm not saying he did or didn't, but it sounds like he pretty blatantly killed his stepmom.
Right. But he was never charged with that, right? Or
no. And that's,
it was just the rumor had it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And for, you know, as they're going through the property, from what I'm seeing and the caution that they were taking, just pretty well said, screw it. They just plowed the entire place over. And then...
Rather than deal with whatever was there?
Yeah. I think part of it was to see, because if you're plowing it up, you can see...
Oh, if there's more stuff.
And there's not stuff booby-trapped around.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I could get
that. I mean,
you might have
then,
some trust issues.
Well, especially back then, it was probably a lot easier just to, you know, hook a plow up to two horses and let them loose.
Well,
you know, all you're out then is a plow and two horses.
What?
1920s
okay.
Era, people didn't really, you know.
Saying better a plow and two horses than 10 people.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess I could get on board with
I
that.
I mean, nowadays it's a little bit more intricate. You could, you know.
Well, now you can just be out like a robot or something.
Yeah.
Or a tank or whatever they want to drive over there.
Right. And then after they plowed it all up, they sold the property. They auctioned it off because
his house?
Yeah, because it all got foreclosed on.
So the aunt auctioned it off.
Yeah, how could you? Could you imagine that, though?
You would be like, so,
yeah,
is anyone from out of town?
Does anybody not know what happened here? Aliens!
It's the aliens. Oh my heck. Wait, so who, like, people live there now?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I would imagine at this point Bath is pretty populated, so it's...
It could be like a...
Multiple...
Parking lot for all we know.
Yeah, it could be anything now.
Okay.
Because, I mean, really look at... Remember the H.H. Holmes guy out of Chicago?
Well, yeah, it's like a post office or something.
Yeah, it's a United States post office now.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't care what he did. No.
It's all right. It's federal property, you know. It's federal. Oh, I did see 1975, the school, the entire school at this point was just completely demoed out.
In 1975?
Yeah.
They made it 50 more years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if it was just because it was outdated or they wanted to build a new school. So, I didn't see anything specific as to why they demoed it out, but...
Okay. But wasn't there stuff happening there?
Well, there still is.
Even though they demoed it?
Mm-hmm. So...
Well, what's there now?
They built a memorial park there. So, in that park, there's a plaque explaining, you know, why they built it. The old cupola from the top of the school, the original school... Not the second version, but the original cupola is in that park.
Okay.
And then right across the street is the new Bath Middle School.
Okay.
And inside that, there's a, I don't know if it's so much a memorial, but there's a museum that chronicles everything that went on, and they have an auditorium and stuff.
So... This school in 1920, whatever, it was one of those, like, you go there in kindergarten and graduate when you're a senior.
Yeah.
Like, there was kids of all ages.
Right.
Okay.
Because even at 10 miles out of Lansing, it probably wasn't something that...
Well, back in the day, it probably wasn't.
Yeah,
Lansing probably wasn't back in the day.
Right.
In the 20s, you know.
Wasn't big.
Oh, my heck. It's the 20s again. It's almost 100 years.
We're screwed.
Okay.
That's all I can say. It's aliens.
The aliens are making
ancient
a comeback.
Aliens.
The aliens will come back now and be like, no thanks.
Yeah.
We'll be back in another 100 years, see where you guys are at.
Could be. So, as far as things that go on there, people...
It
sounds like people claim that the park itself is haunted.
Okay.
Which, if you believe in the supernatural, if you believe in the fact that if people pass in a tragic manner or with unfinished business, then yes, I could definitely see that.
Well, and then there's residual hauntings of...
Right. Yeah. But people claim that to see spirits.
Just walking around?
Children, yeah, just walking around. Voices. They even claim to hear screaming in the park.
Like kids?
That, it doesn't specify if it's grown-ups or children, but it would make sense.
Like a screaming, like we're... Ooh, like we're scared?
It just says screams.
Huh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, that would be rather creepy, just to be driving along and you see a small child late at night in the park.
Right.
And then you get out and you're like, hey, you shouldn't be here. There's
right.
aliens all over the place.
Oh my.
You know, this is a horrible place to be hanging out. You guys might be out here shooting dice. Whatever. Probably not a good idea. 10 o'clock at night. You're probably 8 years old. Let's go home. Come to find out, ghost.
Do they really not know that it's a ghost?
No, I don't know. I'm just using that as a generalization.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, really, I don't know. If you came up to that situation where you seen somebody there and you in your head knew that they were there, I mean, I personally don't know if I'd be like, oh, that ghost.
Well, and it's dark, and...
I mean, if they were glowing...
It's a park, or if there's, like, trees and stuff. I mean, you could see a number of things.
Right.
I thought you genuinely meant, like, people would get out and interact with them and not know they were a ghost.
Oh, I'm sure it probably has happened.
And not know they were a ghost?
Oh, yeah. I mean...
Aren't they, like...
I don't know.
Like, I've seen Casper, they're see-through.
Look, we can't all be a cute, fun-loving ghost.
I guess we could Sixth Sense it. He didn't know.
That's true.
Spoiler alert.
Mark Wahlberg.
He didn't know he was dead. What?
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg was one of the ghosts.
In?
Or no, he actually killed Bruce Willis.
In?
The Sixth Sense.
I haven't seen it for a long time.
Well, you're just out of touch.
I guess.
People also say, though... that the funeral home that the bodies were transported to, which is now some sort of apartment building, is rather active too, with people seem to think that it's the spirits of the kids and the people that were brought there, but
well, I mean, it could be, because why not, but
It
doesn't seem like they'd really have an attachment to the funeral home. Like, well, by the time their body's at the funeral home, their attachments are done.
That's the only thing I could think.
Well, I mean,
in my head, it's like, okay, I don't know necessarily if, as a spirit, they would be like, oh, that's my body. So they followed it to that place. And for whatever reason, that was the last place their body was. So that's where they get stuck.
Well, and if your last moments are just mass pandemonium and panic, it's different than if it's just over. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, maybe your spirit gets wound up. Right. And it could be. It just seems different to me that they would have an attachment to... not somewhere, like, you know, like if someone died at our house that lived here, like, they would have an attachment. They were right. Attached to the house. Or at the school. Like, they went to school every day. But the funeral home seems weird to me. I'm not saying it didn't happen.
No, well, that's why I'm saying, like, it might not have directly been their attachment to the funeral home. Like, could it possibly be, like, as a spirit, they were like, that's my body, and they followed their body to the funeral home, and for whatever reason got stuck there.
And then weren't able to proceed past it.
Right.
Well, that could be.
And because the people that are, well, people that have lived there, I shouldn't say currently do, because I don't know, but people that have lived there have reported seeing the children, have children spirits.
Could be.
So... but it was really hard to find information as far as...
probably because it's so old.
As activity.
The telegraph machine must have been broke down. They didn't document it.
It could be. I mean, maybe they could get in touch with Verizon.
Yeah.
But, so, I did find a video on YouTube. I couldn't find I didn't think to actually save the link, but there was a video not too long ago of one of the survivors. It was recent.
Oh.
Within the last few, maybe 10 years or so.
But so they were...
she was 109.
I was going to say. She had... yeah. Okay.
But as of... as of 1995, this bombing, 68 years, right? No.
1995 would be, well, yeah, because it was 27, you said?
Yeah, so it is
68. Yeah, it'd be 68, yeah.
So for 68 years up until 1995, most devastating... What's the word? I guess most devastating, tragic attack on U.S. soil.
Really?
Yeah. You know what happened in 95 that took the number one spot?
Well, I would say that was probably the Oklahoma City bombing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess where, as of last year, the Bath School bombing is now.
Two.
That's right.
Well, what's number one?
The Oklahoma City bombing.
9/11's not on there?
No, it's domestic
Oh.
attack.
Gotcha. Okay. So, when you were talking about that, I was remembering in Wyoming there's that school clear over by Idaho at Cokeville
Oh, yeah.
that had that guy try to do something similar, but he was, I don't think he had attachments to the school. I think he just picked it. It was just a place where people were. But I think he's the only one that ended up dying.
Yeah.
And his bomb did go off. And none of the kids are, maybe a teacher died, but I mean there was like three people that died and none of them were kids or something. I can't remember. I watched a movie
I
about
don't
it,
know
but
necessarily how they base that ranking, though. Like, if it's the casualties or how much damage it did,
oh, I'm sure it's casualties.
because I know Oklahoma City was in the, like, over 100, but I don't know exactly how many.
I don't either, but I think it would have to be casualties. Like you wouldn't think they'd factor in like property damage.
Oh, well, that too, I'm wondering, is it casualties as far as,
Do you add the injured in?
right, that's what I'm wondering.
Oh, I'm not sure.
I mean, obviously, yeah, Oklahoma City. I'm not saying that, this is gonna foreshadow it by any means, but like, yeah,
Is
Oklahoma
it?
City, you gotta wonder, like, out of all the people that they listed as having passed because of that, how many more are, how big of a number that would be with everybody that got injured, or is that number including that? Because it was a few hundred, I thought, but.
I don't know the answer. But I do wonder, because that thing in Las Vegas was, at that concert where they shot
Yeah.
all the people, that would have been domestic, is it not?
I think it was just domestic bombings.
Oh, bombings, okay. Huh. Okay, well, tell us all your links where you found all your stuff.
So a lot of the information I got from Andrew Kehoe's and the Bath School disaster pages on Wikipedia, and I know a lot of people probably are like, "Well, you can edit it." Like I said, I had a real hard time finding actual details about
Right.
this.
I think Wikipedia is an okay source.
I do have a page. Michigan State University has a page on their website for the Bath, Michigan School disaster. It's michiganhistory.e, or I'm sorry, dot LEADR dot MSU dot EDU slash Bath slash history slash. And that really has quite a few good pictures on it. I mean, it's.
Well, we can post that link too, because that was
Yeah.
long. Yeah.
And then there's one other one, Hell Came to Michigan. That's AmericanHauntingsInc.com slash bath. They also had some pictures on there, and they. I don't know if they helped with the Wikipedia page, because a lot of the historical information was on there. Maybe they got a lot of their information from it. I don't know. But it looked like it was
Well, I'd be surprised if Michigan State got their information from Wikipedia.
No, I'm talking about the Hell Came to Michigan.
Oh, okay.
From the little bit of.
Michigan State's like, hey, Wikipedia's right here. Like a simple Google.
Oh, they probably didn't even do that.
Oh, shoot.
Those Spartan fans.
Oh, hush.
They probably used They're probably still using their Hotmail accounts.
Hotmail?
And AIM Messenger.
AOL.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's AIM.
Oh, I don't know about AIM.
AOL Instant Messenger, AIM.
Oh, okay.
God, what's wrong with you? AOL is still an active company, by the way.
Okay.
So if you ever need dial-up internet, which is probably faster
we should
than
probably
our,
get
faster than our current internet.
Okay. Well, those are all your links?
Yeah.
We'll post them here. We'll actually probably do it right now so I don't forget.
But that's my story. I hope.
Well, good work.
People enjoyed it.
I like when you do the paranormal stuff.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Maybe we can, well, I've got one I'm working on, from someone that reached out to me about, an unsolved crime. So I'm going to have her answer some questions and then we'll get back to, we'll do that for next week. But maybe after that, you can do another paranormal one.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Do you know our Facebook information?
I'm guessing, Hometown Mysteries at Facebook.
No, but close.
Slash Ancient Aliens.
Slash Ancient Aliens. No, it's just, we're just on Facebook at Hometown Mystery.
There's more to it than that.
There is not. Also.
Nothing's that easy.
Instagram. What's our Instagram?
I don't know. You still haven't explained to me what Instagram is.
Oh, so. That's right. We're still learning. Here's something you didn't know. I started us a MeWe.
I don't know what
is
that is.
Is that how you say it? MeWe? It's MeWe, like MeWe.
Well, then yes, but I don't know what that is.
I started us one.
Cool.
It's Hometown Mystery.
Right on.
We'll learn about it after Instagram. And
snacks and treats?
I mean, I don't think
the hesitation right there, I'm not sold.
All right. Well, let's learn about Instagram, and then if MeWe's still around, we'll learn about it.
It's just a fad, just like TikTok.
You want a TikTok?
I don't even know what TikTok is. I see things on the internet that say TikTok, so I'm assuming it's some...
I was hoping that it was going to be a fad, and we didn't have to learn it, but I think it's here to stay, so we're gonna have to pick it up a little bit. And then hometownmystery@gmail.com.
Boom.
If you care to talk to us. Okay. Let us know. Feedback.
That's all I got.
That's all I got. Okay.
Watch out for the aliens.
Oh, my Atlanta.